At the bulletin, you'll know that our message today is going to be about contentment and the lack thereof, what that might cause to relationships. And I was trying to find a song to go with this, and I found a really great song, but it's pretty old. It's from 1965, and it's about contentment and relationships. In the U.S. that year, it went all the way to number one. And I wonder, Nick, if you could maybe give us a little hint, the song I'm thinking of.
We did it?
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. You really sounded great. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something you can tell your friends and neighbors, that our church used who wrote that song? A Rolling Stones song in our service today. Now, that song was written by a guy named Mick Jagger, he of the Lips, and Keith Richards. And it was launched here like in 1965 and went all the way to the top. And so, if you read the lyrics, which believe me, I did to make sure it was okay that I used it in my sermon, I was a little nervous, but in there's sort of consumerism, relationship, and maybe a little bit of teen angst. For example, you remember about the guy on the radio, can't get my shirt as white as it could be. The guy on TV said, you're smoking the wrong brand of cigarettes. He tried to get a date with a girl, and she said, maybe come back next week, you know. Like I say, consumerism, rejection, relationships, and teen angst. But I wonder, if you think about that, have you seemed to see many people that seem to get no satisfaction out of life? They seem to be unhappy, unfulfilled. You know somebody that way. Walk around in discontent. There's no fulfillment. So what is the secret of a satisfying life? Well, contentment would be good. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 that contentment must be learned. He says this, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And so before we go too much further, I want to sort of blow up three misconceptions about being happy. Number one, I must have what others have in order to be happy. Wrong. It's a myth. It's not fads or fashions. Maybe for an instant they provide happiness, but let me go on. Number two, to be liked by everyone in order to be happy. So I know we all want to be liked by others, but the truth is, not everyone's going to like you. Even Jesus couldn't please everybody, right? And so you can't go through life without some disapproval. And if you do anything, almost anything, somebody is not going to like it. You see that in media every day. And so you don't really need everybody's approval to be happy. Number three, having more will make me happy. So do you remember the rich guy, Howard Hughes, when he was asked, how much money does it take to make a man happy? He says, just a little more. So you see where he's coming from there. Let me tell you a story. There was a father of a wealthy family who took his son on a trip to the country to show his son how poor people can be. They spent a couple of nights in a rural area on a farm, and it was considered a poor family. So on their return trip home, the father asked his son, well, son, how was the trip? He said, it was great, Dad. And he said, did you see how poor people can be? And he says, oh, yeah. Well, what did you learn? And surprisingly, the son answered this way. I saw that we have one dog and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to about the middle of our backyard, and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns, you know, the little lanterns in the garden, and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and that's about it, and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond sight. We buy our food and they grow theirs. We have walls around our property to protect us, and they have their friends to protect them. And you can imagine the father was, you know, after all he did, huh? And his son dad added, "Oh, thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor we are." That was a shocker, wasn't it? Well, if you haven't figured it out by now, we're in the middle of a sermon series on R for relationships. And we're going to talk a little bit today about not letting a desire for more money or bigger and better things to get in the way of relationship. God asks us to be content with what He provides us. And I was thinking today, maybe wrongly, but is there anything that a person could desire more than contentment? As a matter of fact, if you'll work with me on this, let me see if I can convince you of that. That's why a person may be covetous. That's kind of a difficult word. You know what that means, covetous? It means wanting something, right? So the only reason a person becomes covetous is because he wants to be content. So if he feels he can gain whatever it is that he covets, that will make him content. Everybody may not call it this or use this terminology, but since I'm preaching, I'm using it today. How's that sound? But wouldn't you agree really seriously that everyone is looking for contentment in some way, some form? We want to be content. I'd like to head to the epistle now, Hebrews today. And if you look at verse 5, it tells us to keep your life free from love of money and be content what you have. He also says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So this is a sub-theme today I wanted to have you keep in mind is God has our back 24/7. He'll never forsake us. So there are stories out there of temptation by greed that have caused people to abandon a life of faithful discipleship. I hope you don't know anyone like that, but there are people out there. Now, there's other temptations. I don't have to tell you much. You just watch the media and you see other temptations today that have caused people to sort of go off the deep end. But we're talking about, I think, greed and things like that today. So, in a sense, contentment has nothing to do with how much wealth we have, but we have the Lord and that's all we need. If you look in verse 3 today in Hebrews, it talks about prison. And so I want to take this time out to mention Pastor Hook and other church leaders that are on a Kairos ministry this weekend. They're at La Palma Prison, not only at, but in La Palma Prison, and ministering to the folks that are incarcerated there and also the staff. And so it's not just our church, but other churches here in Pima County. And they're on a wonderful mission, and they do a lot. And you've probably heard some of the testimonies from some of the folks that have done it. And pray for their families, the folks that are incarcerated, their families, that they could get reunited, if you would, please. Now, please note at the end of verse 5 that we were talking about early, "I will never forsake thee." That theme is also repeated in our Old Testament today, the Psalms. And the title of that, if you're looking at it in a Bible, that Psalm 37, 1 through 9, "He will not forsake his saints." So he keeps coming out with that. And verse 4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So there again, once again, the promise is there for us. And take the reading a little further for an interesting situation that you might identify with. I know I did. Starting at verse 7, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil." So what I want to say is, to put a little finer point on it, how many of us wonder and fret about someone who's evil, at least in our judgment, we think, yet he's successful, rich, and powerful? Let that thought sink in. I know you've had it. How can someone like that be successful, rich, and powerful? Well, first off, we're not the judge, right? Someone else is, and this psalm talks about how the judgment's going to go. So we need to try and bury that thought, enjoy our relationship with God, who, as it said here in Psalms, He'll eventually cut off evil non-believers. So that's what's waiting for them. At this point, I would like the audiovisual crew to go ahead and put up my very complicated slide that I made. Isn't that neat? So I see the golden, smiley, contented face there, a bunch of blue, frowning beings. And I got the forsake, I won't forsake you comment in there. And on the right-hand side, which may not be readable, I want to show you some steps that may help you learn how to be content. And more on that toward the end. First off, no person can ever be happy until he has learned to enjoy what he has and not to worry over what he does not have. So that kind of makes sense. A little bit of a tongue twister. Next one is a learning experience for sure. I had no shoes and complained until I met a man who had no feet. Okay? And lastly, discontentment makes rich men poor, while contentment makes poor men rich. I want to tell you a story about that. There was a rich guy, a rich industrialist, who went by the docks to see how the other half lived, and there was a fisherman sitting lazily beside his boat. And the brusque, impatient, rich industrialist dude says, "Why aren't you out there fishing? Because it looked pretty good, nice and calm." And he said, "Well, I caught enough fish for today." And the rich man said, "Well, why don't you catch more fish than you need?" "Well, why should I do that?" "Well, you could earn more money," came the reply, "and buy a better boat and invest in upgraded nets and go deeper and catch more fish. You can make even more money. Soon you'd have a fleet of boats and be rich like me." The fisherman said, "Well, then what would I do?" And the rich man said, "Well, you'd sit down and enjoy life." "Well, what do you think I'm doing now?" the fisherman replied as he looked placidly out to sea. What do you think about that one? So there's a message here. Jesus underlines the great danger of being rich in earthly things, but poor towards God. In a consumer culture like ours, and you know we are, the dangers of covetousness caused by a lack of contentment are often downplayed. We become surprised when relationships are frayed because of covetousness. Who's seen the movie Wall Street? Remember that movie, Mike Douglas? You remember his monologue, "Greed is good"? You remember that? It is good. Well, God says, no. He warns against the self-destructive nature of covetousness and greed. In our gospel text, he uses the avarice in the crowd. You remember, help my brother with the inheritance. Help me get part of the inheritance. He used that to teach his followers and hopefully us about having trust in God to provide all we need. And this should lead us away from greed for material possessions. Now, the folly of this rich man in the gospel today is that he thought possessions were a measure of the quality of life. See where I'm going there? Earthly possessions mean I've got a high quality of life. I challenge you, what is more wealth, goods, money, power, or eternal life? I think I got the answer. You think you've got the answer? It's got to be eternal life. So that's the one mistake he made, is that he forgot about eternal life being more valued than good. So I want to challenge you to try something this week. And if you do this, I think it will help you learn a little better about contentment. So I want you to list 5 things that you're most grateful for in life. It might be your spouse, your faith. There's all kinds of things that you could be grateful for. Also, don't forget things like relationships. I've got a good relationship here. I've got a good relationship with God. I've got a good relationship with my mother-in-law. You know, things like that. Once you make that list of 5 things, I want you to, every day in your daily prayer, spend it a minute or two praying about that one thing that you're grateful for. I think that'll help your contentment. So if you make a list tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that'll get you ready for next week. And also to get you ready for next week, I'm going to ask Pastor to ask a show of hands who followed up on this and actually did the list and did the prayers. Okay, so when he asks, what is the answer? Don't fail me. Don't fail me now. If he asks, did you do this last week? I want you to say, yes. And that'll demonstrate how successful this sermon was, okay? Am I clear? So he says, show of hands, what's the answer? Yes, thank you so much. Oh, great. Well, I thank you for your time, and may I say this, the peace of God which passes all human understanding